Kathy Kelly. I'm coming at you from Paranormal Tower in Asbury Park's historic downtown district. Yet again, it's Asbury Park, so you are going to hear tons of noise outside. Those screams are not coming from inside the house. They are definitely coming from the generally drunken boys and girls that are outside. It is Friday, August 9th, and we are doing a mini-sode here. I have with me two of Paranormal's most important paranormalists. I have with me...
Hi, I'm Heather.
And I have with me...
Joe Rossidi.
Joe Rossidi, also known as The Joe. And we actually just finished a seance here. It was a pretty good seance, Heather. You know, not a great one, but a pretty good one. So how do we judge what a good seance is versus a bad seance? Honestly, I don't know that I'm qualified to do that. You know, I think tonight was a slow starting one. But I thought we got some pretty good messages that came through, and I think people were pretty happy with the experiences that they were having and whatnot and blah blah blah. But what we're actually going to talk about tonight, because these two guys, Heather, this is your second summer with us, I believe.
Yes.
Right. When did you actually start?
August of last year.
Actually. Oh, was it August? Okay. So we are celebrating Heather's first anniversary.
Whoa, what?
Heather hails from Ohio, home to Ohio State Penitentiary, which is one of our favorite artifacts. And Joe has been with us for, I think, almost 9 years at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this is like...
The ninth year, I think. Well, so, right?
I mean, if you want to say October 2009.
All right, so we're moving into your 10th anniversary, right? That's which is, October of 2009 is actually the 10th anniversary of the Paranormal Museum as well. That's when we opened. So Paranormal Books has been here since 2007, 2008. And we expanded to the museum in 2009. And holy shit, that sounds like a long, long time to be doing this. But, you know, the funny thing is that as long as I'm doing it, I still get excited. You know, like tonight I made the joke that, like, seances are like potato chips. You know, like once you have one, you just want to have another one. I feel the same way about paranormal experiences. And, you know, a lot of times people come in, and when they come to the museum, and you probably get this more than anybody else, Heather, because you do 4 or 5 tours a week. Mm-hmm. People always say, hey, does anyone ever see anything here? And, you know, the likelihood of you having a paranormal experience in the 45 minutes that you're walking through the museum, generally, I would say, is kind of low, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it does happen, mm-hmm. right? So in all the times that you've been doing it in the, you know, I mean, you've done 200 tours at this point.
That's a lot.
You know, that's a lot of tours. Mm-hmm. In the 200 some odd tours that you've done, has anyone ever had an experience that they've actually had while on tour?
So the only thing that comes to mind right offhand is, I believe this would have been end of last year, maybe. It was the last tour of the night, and we were down by where the dolls are.
Right.
And we heard very obvious footsteps, not up here, but coming up the stairs to the second floor to the museum.
Yeah, so essentially behind you.
Yes.
Right.
So I'm facing the stairs. So I stopped the tour because I'm waiting for Una or some flesh mm-hmm. and blood person to get to the top
right.
of the stairs, and they never get there.
Right.
So, you know, everyone has turned around at this point waiting for that person to come up as well, because
right.
it's not unheard of. I've had stragglers
right.
on
right,
my
right.
tour before where people just show up.
Right.
And so we're waiting for this person to show, and they just don't. So they all turn back to me waiting for an explanation that I don't have to give.
Right,
so
right,
it's
right.
like, let's continue.
Yeah,
because
that's
what
the
else
museum.
Do you do? So, yeah.
I mean, I do think, and yet, you know, you've done 200 to 250 tours, because that's about right, right? I mean, you know, five tours a week, a year, you're getting to the 250 some odd, you know, tours. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, I spend probably 30 or 40 hours a week here, sometimes staying here overnight. Joe is probably here 18 to 20 hours a week. You're here 6 to 10 hours a week. Mm. We have experiences all the time, though. I mean, like, what do you think? Like, Joe, what was your most kind of surprising paranormal experience or experience that you had that you think was the most, like, paranormal defined experience that you've had here? Like, what scared you? Did anything ever happen that scared you? Because I got to tell you, a couple things that have unnerved me.
Well, confusing part in the time where we were down, when you were doing a seance, and I felt that...
You felt someone touch you?
Yeah, like I felt near my boot, down near my ankle.
Right, it was like your hand actually touched you, right?
Yeah, and you know, and you can have weird feelings, but that felt like, I felt like my boot moved.
Right.
You know, and then I always tell the story of hearing the footsteps, or, you know, hearing when you had workers here.
Right. Well, tell that story. What was...
Who
was with you?
It was just Christina working.
Right.
When she was working the store.
Right.
So, it was when you were kind of like a few months in with the store, so we were new here.
Right.
And when I came in early to do something, I saw you had workers here, and they had their, like, their the sheets laid out.
Right, they were finishing up the painting. Right.
Yeah, so I thought, like, we're about to open in about an hour.
Right.
And they still look like they're not close to being finished. So I text you, and I said, you still got people here. And then Christina came in, and she looked surprised, too. So then... A little while, like, before we opened, one of the guys told me they're going to finish up upstairs. Mm-hmm. And I don't think your museum was... There was nothing going on there.
Right, yet. I wasn't using it as a museum yet. We weren't open for a museum yet.
So I said, fine, you know, no problem. And they went up there, and then... I went to the mall real quick, and... you texted me while I was at the mall. You asked me if they were still there, and I said... I said, no, I think they left at 1 or something like that, because I think they were about to finish up. And then when I came back, I heard them upstairs. And I thought to myself, all right, well, they didn't leave yet, you know. So I sat down for a while, and I heard, like, heavy, not just footsteps, but, like, they were picking stuff up and putting it down and all that stuff. So I told, well, I didn't say nothing yet. So I went upstairs to check on them. And when I got up here, everything was off. Like, the lights were off and everything. And I went back down to Christine. I asked her, I said, how long were they here? I think I asked her that. And she didn't really, she's like, oh, I don't know. But she did, she thought they were there too. You know what
I mean? Yeah, she had heard them moving around as well.
Yeah, so I told her, I said, because nobody's up there. You know, and she gave me this really surprised look on her face. And I was like, yeah, nothing. All the lights are off and everything. So I, you know, but today I think back at that, and I try to really think about what I really heard, because that was, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I went up to check.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, you were so convinced that you went up to check on them.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was...
I mean, I think that that's probably the most common thing that people experience, is definitely this, you know, definitely walking around everywhere. And of course, you know, one of my favorite stories is the cops, right? So
yeah.
Before we even opened, it was January of 2017. I think it was January of 2018. So the place was kind of vetted out, and it was, we had been open very briefly for Krampus. And we didn't have a ton of artifacts out. We hadn't started the tours yet. So I hadn't put everything up on the walls or anything like that. But everything was here. It just wasn't all set up yet. And it was during that, like, polar vortex, when, you know, like, the one week in January when it's just like, oh, we're in, like, one of the levels of hell. Whatever the cold level of hell is. And it was... around 11:15 at night, and I had gotten an update, because I have cameras, you know, I always have cameras running, and I had gotten an update from a security camera saying, you know, a person has been detected in, you know, the salon, which is the second floor, which is our large exhibit hall. And I checked the camera, and I saw people walking up the stairs with flashlights. So, you know, cat burglars, and, you know, are not coming to the paranormal museum, and nobody's robbing us using a flashlight. You know what I mean? So I knew it was police officers, And I figured, well, that means we left the door unlocked, which at the time was happening a couple of times because we have two doors side by side. So people were coming in one door, forgetting and leaving out the other door. That's since changed because of the way we've changed the locks. But I knew that they were going to have to lock up, and they can't lock up. So they were going to call me to come in. So as soon as I saw them on the camera, I got in my car and I started driving to Asbury Park. And Asbury Park's about 25 minutes away from my house. So I called the dispatch to just say, hey, tell the guys to just stay warm. I'll be there in a few minutes and I'll lock up, right? Like, they don't have to, you know, like, they don't have to call me. I'm coming in. And dispatch was like, oh, no problem. They haven't even called it in yet that they've been there. And I said, oh, I just saw them come through with the security camera. So 25 minutes later, I get here. And remember, it's like 4 below 0. It is cold. And I pull up. And these two young police officers, really super nice guys. I want to say it was like, I think it's Mike and Jules. You know what I mean? I can't remember. I think Julian was one and Mike was the other. And they were really nice. And they were standing outside by the squad car. But standing and going back and forth, foot to foot to foot, like they were nervous. And so I pull up and I'm like, guys, what's the matter? You can wait it inside. And they're like, nope. And I was like, what? And they're like, nope. And I go, well, come inside with me. And they're like, no, we're good. We don't need to come inside. So finally I was like, what is the matter? Why won't you come inside? So they told me the story. And then they did end up coming in with me. So they told me the story where they had checked the doors and it was the back door that was unlocked. So they checked this, they opened up the back door. They walked into the first floor storefront and they heard someone walking on the walking upstairs. So they said, okay, let's go upstairs and check this out. And they walked up saying, Asbury Park Police Department, we're just checking the doors. And when they got to the second floor, they heard someone on the third floor. So they walked up to the third floor. Now you guys know there's nowhere to go up here, right? You can go out on the roof, but those doors weren't even put in yet, right? So they got up to the third floor and then they heard someone on the second floor. So they went back down. When they got back down, they heard someone on the first floor. They went back down and it kept going until finally one of them went up to the third floor. One of them went to the second floor and they heard somebody went to the first floor and they heard someone in the middle and they ended up meeting in the middle and there was no one there. And it was so unnerving and kind of like, you know, creepy to them that they both were like, that's it. We'll wait outside for her. And they waited outside for me. And the funny thing is they did come in and I showed them artifacts and everything like that. But while we were sitting here, we actually heard someone walking, like when we were sitting on the singing couch, actually, I made them sing on the singing couch. We heard someone walking back and forth and they were just like, that's it. We're out. Are you good? And I was like, yep. And they were like, that's all we need to know. And out they went. I lucked up. And I went home. Now, the funny thing is Mike stops by all the time, but he won't come in the store. So he stops by, he knocks on the door, he waves, and I'll come out to him. And he'll be like, how's it going? Blah, 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 blah. But he won't come in the store because he's afraid of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't think he's afraid of it like he can't sleep at night. But he's like, no, I don't need to know any more than what I already know.
Yeah.
I personally have actually seen things here. Have either of you guys seen anything?
I personally have not. You sometimes get that feeling that you catch things out of the
corner of your eye, yeah.
But that's been the most.
Now, Joe, you had an experience after a séance where you guys were looking in the mirrors. And do you remember the magician guy that was here?
Yeah.
Right, and how the lights were all off, and we were and. You guys started scrying and you were, remember you ended up, you were holding each other lovingly at the end of it? Like, honestly, they end up, I turn the lights on and Joe is holding this stranger in his arms, like Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. Like, and I think that was the first time you guys met. I don't know if you're still together or not, but it's like.
I made that move.
But wait, do you remember what made you, I remember, well, do you remember it what was, it was?
It was the sound, right behind us.
Right, like, by the cauldron.
Like that. Because I didn't, like, knowing me, I didn't see anything that night or in the mirror, but I was really interested in what you guys.
Well, I wasn't either. I was just looking at my bills, but TJ, and you know, TJ sees something every time he looks at something, but Which is not to put TJ down. He's just very, you know, mm-hmm. everything is very credible to him.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a, so this was not one of those like, hey, did you hear that things. This was a, what the fuck was that? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like it sounded like somebody dropped a weight.
Yeah.
You know, and it really felt like, guys, go home. That's what, right? Isn't that what it felt like? It was like, you have to go home.
I don't think you broke anything out yet, right? Like, I think after that, you started taking stuff out to look for, like, investigate, right?
No, I don't think we really did. I think we were like, I think we went for food because we were like, it's like, it wants us out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
I remember we're talking and we're getting these, you know, different. I think we heard some things, but the mirror. We were focusing on the mirrors, and then
You guys were scrying. We have a just for the listeners. We have an infinity mirror, right? And the idea of an infinity mirror is that it lights up mirror within mirror within mirror within mirror, and the idea is that you know, that everything that you see is another plane of existence, and so you know, spirits are able to move between the plane. I mean, it's also known as a scrying mirror. I never turn it on, but you guys asked me to that night, so I did. And TJ and you and that guy Mike, I mean, I was literally going through my mail, but you guys were trying to see things in it, and all of you said that you saw something.
Yeah.
But then we were playing around for like 40 minutes, and then it was like, it literally was like the museum decided it was time for us to go. You remember?
Yeah, so I was... when we were doing that, I remember when that sound happened, you know, we all went like this, and I remember because you were kind of like this.
Well, like yeah, I was perpendicular to you.
Yeah. So what you did was the way you turned your head like this, I saw your hair flip, like that, and we were all like this. And by the time you looked the other way, me and him were kind of like,
yeah, you were hugging each other. And then I turned the lights on. It literally was like like Scooby-Doo and jumped into Shaggy's arms. And they didn't know each other. And it was the funniest thing. But what's the most, like, so, I mean, you know, it's more than footsteps here, though. I mean, I think there's often a sense of presence, too. You know?
I don't know if you remember this or not, but this didn't happen on my tour. I was actually training with you for a candlelight tour.
Right.
And so we are in the middle of the tour. We're standing at the couch. You are at the end closest to the windows.
Right.
So out to the street.
Right.
And I'm facing you with my back to the stairs.
Though, right.
Downstairs. And you're in the middle of telling the story about the couch. And downstairs, if you've ever been here before, you know that there's a front door, there's a back door. Both of those doors are glass.
Right.
So the only wooden door that we have is the door to the bathroom downstairs.
Right, right, right.
So you're telling the story, and in the middle of it, we hear that door slam.
Right,
do you remember
that?
This?
Yeah, I do.
So, you know, like, I am still relatively new to what happens here.
Right.
Whereas you are a veteran, you know.
Right, right, right.
So I look at you and I say, that came from downstairs.
Right.
And you looked at me and you said, yeah, it did. And when I saw your, like, you get unnerved,
yeah, that
I was
startled,
like,
right.
Well, it's serious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you take off and go downstairs. And we had been, me and the people in the group of the tour that night had been, like, saying, like, we had been hearing footsteps up here.
Right.
And you know, you were just kind of like, yeah, you know, sure, maybe.
Right,
maybe
right, it happens.
It, maybe
right,
we're
right,
not.
Right.
So, you're headed downstairs, and you are under the impression that someone has gotten in the building.
Right,
like,
yeah, I think
it's
Joe. Right,
right,
right.
Paranormal, right.
Right.
So, you're making your way back up the stairs, didn't find anybody, and you make a comment, something like, that was like a doubt me, will ya?
Right.
So it's
right,
like
right.
We were poo-pooing all of the other things that were happening.
Right.
They're like, if they're not going to pay attention to me, I'll give them
right.
something that they can't
right.
just say, can't explain.
And I do think that that happens here sometimes. And I tell you too, like, you know, we go back. It's weird to be like, I believe, but, or I don't believe, but, right? So It is, like, I have a weird thing with this place because I own it and it's a paranormal business, right? It's really easy for me to be like, it's haunted, it's haunted. And honestly, I don't want people, I don't want people to think I'm a shyster, right? So I try to be really as skeptical as I possibly can. And listen, sometimes it's gotta be the next door neighbor. Sometimes it's gotta be other things. But there have been some things that have happened that I don't know if it's the place or if it's the artifacts or if it's the energy that we're bringing to it or if it's all of those things combined where I literally can't explain it. And I say the Paranormal Museum's been here for 10 years. It's only been here in this building for 15 or 16 months. And we have more activity in this building than we had in 8.5 years in the other building. So, like, and there was activity there too, but I think that was related to the artifacts. But I do have to say there are certain things that we've brought into this building and artifacts that we've brought in that have changed things. Like, for instance, I have seen things from time to time where, you know, I can pretend that I didn't see figures but you know what? That would be as big, if I were to deny that I saw what looks to be spirits, that's being as big a liar as if I said I saw them and I didn't. So I have to walk this really kind of fine line because it's like, I don't want to lie so that you think I'm telling the truth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm just going to tell you the truth, you know? And do I know what the spirits are? No. Do I know if it's residual, you know, is it energy, is it thought projection, is it a tulpa, I don't know what it is. I just know what I've seen, right? And on the night that we're talking about with Joe, where the noise was made, I saw a figure of a dude. I almost said a figure of a man. Yeah. I saw a figure of a dude. In a split second I saw him. It was literally a split second. I'd never seen a male in this place before. I have seen a female before. And at one time I saw, one time we were moving in here, we thought we saw something, you know, with Sean, but I never saw that again. But I saw a male figure, late 30s, early 40s, Edwardian innate, like, dress. I thought he was wearing a bow tie, but it might have been like one of those flat ties too. And he had kind of one of those, like, sweet out of line haircuts, right? And he didn't look, like, negative, but he looked annoyed, right? And he was walking towards me, and he was there, and he was gone. But it was enough, I saw enough of him that I could recognize the presence, right? And I turned around, and remember, I had that surgery on my eyes, and I never trust them since, because I've got floaters, and I see differently in the dark and everything. And I looked up and that guy Mike that stayed late after the seance, looks at me and he goes, did you just see a guy in a bow tie? And it was like, holy shit. Yes, I did just, like, it was so startling to have someone have seen exactly the same thing. Because I don't think everybody sees the same thing, you know? So that night, I had no idea who this person was. I never thought about it, never thought about it. Then I remembered that we had gotten months ago. We had gotten the funeral kneeler, right? And the woman that had donated it had said to me, I have 4 of these, but this is the only one that he comes to. And I said, who's he? And she's like, I don't know, but he comes every night. She wasn't afraid of it. She didn't care. She just didn't want to be woken up anymore. And then all of a sudden, I'm thinking to myself, is that the he now? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there a way that we could reach out to her and ask?
Like, oh, yeah, I know.
Do you have a description of this guy?
I can reach out to her on Facebook, yeah.
It'd be interesting to
know. I do think, like, so we've... And I do think that as we... Like, obviously, the cauldron, I think, is the most active thing that we have, right? Yeah. I mean, there are times when you're standing next to it where, especially if you've done 4 or 5 tours, where you're just like... I feel like I'm in a fun house, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's intentional. I don't think it's like somebody trying. I just think there's a shit ton of energy around it. And I also think everybody that comes to see it brings energy, right? Does it scare you, though?
It doesn't scare me. I will say that area and the dolls are really the only areas that I feel that feeling around. And if I have a tour and there are people who report feeling things, it's always the cauldron.
Right.
The cauldron or the dolls.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you wonder if they didn't know the cauldron story, would they? And I got to tell you, I think they would. Mm-hmm. Because I have been over there doing nothing and not telling, you know what I mean? Just cleaning stuff up. And you're just like, ooh. Like you literally feel like the ground is moving under you, you know? And as much as there's not a straight line in this place, it's not like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? What's your favorite artifact in the museum?
My favorite artifact is the rubbing of the graves.
Oh, really?
The Mercy Brown.
The Mercy Brown. Yeah. What's your favorite artifact, Joe?
I can name a few. I love the singing couch.
Yeah, I love
that
too.
What's behind it. I mean, the story behind it.
The story is amazing.
And I love the cauldron because of how strong we have, what we have with it. But I know there's, like, I love the Mercy Brown story. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I'm trying to think of...
You know what I really love, too, though? I love the cutting of Chloe's tree.
Yeah, that's
from, too. From, what do you call it? From the Myrtles.
The Myrtles, yeah.
You know, like, when I reached out years and years ago when I first decided to open the museum, I had a lot of artifacts, right? But most of the artifacts were, like, things that people had given me, things that I had collected... Not necessarily, they weren't necessarily associated with famous hauntings. And so I wanted to tell the stories of famous hauntings. And the way you do that is you get an artifact and you tell a story. And I was like, I will have my haunted artifacts. And I had, you know, I had 100, 150 artifacts at that point. I mean, when I think about where we're sitting right now, like we're in this, it's a disaster right now, right? But generally speaking, it's a very contemporary, super modern, super, like, sleek office space that I created as kind of, like, the antithesis of everything else in this building, right? So that there's... And yet, you know, when I think about what's here, it's like, I have a letter from Son of Sam. Mm-hmm. I have... You know what I mean? Like there are artifacts in virtually... I mean, I have... H.H. Holmes's grave dirt right there, and I have the coffin stones right there, and I mean, I have virtually everywhere we have artifacts. I mean, honestly, I have a human remains in an Amazon box. And when you say those things out loud, you can't believe that people really, that it's really like this,
yeah.
But it's literally like this. There is a box that has an Amazon label that says human remains do not throw out. But like when I was first starting out, a lot of the stuff that we had, we did the Jersey Devil, exhibit first. So it was mostly artists, a rendition of things. And I wanted to tell the story of the Jersey Devil because I was commemorating the 100th anniversary of Phenomenal Week, but I had my artifacts as well, but I reached out to every famous haunt in the country that I could think of. And everybody sent me a little something, you know. Honestly, I don't even display them because some of them were like a t-shirt or a mug. And it's like, thank you, but I don't need that. Bobby Mackey, thank you. Bobby Mackey's mortal hell. Yes. Here's a mug, you know. Wear this t-shirt. The demon will get you, you know. But I, you know, it just wasn't worthy of inclusion in the museum. But when they sent me the clipping from Chloe's tree... And they sent me a copy of the original photographer's report and the original report from the graphic artist about the photograph. And they sent me a copy of the photograph. I really loved that. And the reason why I loved that was here was this literal DNA of an American ghost story. Forget whether it's real. Forget about that. Listen, forget about that. Something's going on. Is it Chloe? Is the story true? The history that we're told in the story is not the history of what happened, that as far as we know, at the Myrtles Plantation. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So forget about that. People still are seeing these things.
Right.
But the fact that that oleander tree is still there, mm-hmm. and that we have a piece of it,
yeah.
that to me is amazing, you know? And then when I think of other artifacts that I've collected that I have fallen in love with artifacts that I I never liked in the first place. Like Blue is growing on me. You know what I mean? The story of Blue is growing on me. And the more I kind of research the idea of capturing a spirit on film or in paint, because it could just be that this guy was crazy, right? I mean, it could just be...
I mean, it was the 60s.
Right, and he probably dropped acid or something, you know. But does that mean he wasn't doing it? And, exactly. You know, the more we do this stuff, the more I wonder, is it... How much of it is us? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's all us, but how much of it is us? Do you know what I mean? Like, so is he necessarily wrong? You know, I mean, and there are artifacts that I don't think I could ever express to people how, like, there's stuff that we have here that is so cool. Mm-hmm. And you could just, as you're talking to people, you're just like, they don't get it. Yeah.
And I feel that every time I start, because we start our tours, we kind of make our rounds.
Right.
And I always start with the newspaper clipping from Salem.
Right.
I'm like, this is 1693.
Yeah. And it's not a copy.
Yeah.
But see, that's what you, like, you kind of have to emphasize that. Like,
yes.
This is an actual newspaper. This is not a copy of the newspaper.
And once you explain it to them, especially when you get to the point of, this is not on newsprint. This is on linen.
Yeah.
They didn't even have this
yet. Like, if you pulled this out, it would flex. And
then
it would,
you get the reaction.
Right.
Oh, wow, really?
Right, right. Like, I'm actually, this thing is older than this country. This thing under glass is older than the country we're in. And then I'm just laughing thinking about what's right here in my office.
Oh, is that his hair?
Yeah. So this came in this week. I wish you guys could see this. So anyone who knows me for even about 4 minutes knows that Abraham Lincoln is, like, my person, right? So I have a lock of his hair.
That's
and
awesome.
About a little bit more than an inch of the flag that was draped over his casket.
That's
the entire time that he was laying in state. So we're revamping our White House section to include other ghosts of the White House. So we'll be talking a little bit about the history of that. Because we do have Andrew Jackson. And we have a copy of the letter that Harry Truman wrote to his wife. Because Harry Truman actually believed that the White House, and now I'm going off on a tangent, but Harry Truman believed the White House was haunted. He believed that Lincoln would walk the corridors and kind of knock and make his presence known. But he also believed that he was telling him that it was unsafe. And so he had an engineer come and look at the White House. And in fact, it was unsafe. And in fact, they gutted it and tore it down during Truman's administration.
Wow.
And Time Life took a photograph. And in this photograph, there appears to be a gentleman just about 6 foot, 4.5 inches tall in the back. And you can actually see through him. And the photographer and the people that took that picture often claimed that they believed it was the spirit of Abraham Lincoln. I'm actually going to do a lecture in September here. Which is free to anyone who wants to show up, on Lincoln's ghost and how there's about 15 of them in the United States, at least.
Mm.
And how is that possible? And does it matter if it's possible? But Lincoln is, you know, Lincoln is great fodder for paranormalists. But if you had to say, is this place haunted, what would you say? Would you...
I would have to say, yeah.
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 What about you, Joe?
Yeah, I know. I definitely. And I wanted to bring something up. If you.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
No, the time when me, you, and Sean were in the museum.
Right.
And you saw that.
Yeah, yeah. The guy.
Right behind.
Right.
See, 'cause I thought you were going with that when you said the guy.
Right. That's
that
the guy. Yeah,
story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you have that the kneeler at that time?
Did I what?
You know,
no.
That, yeah. So, but. Because that's the thing. Like when that happened. Like, you know, you're just talking to us and you saw that and you stopped the conversation and you said, I just saw something come through the wall.
Right, walk out of the wall,
like,
yeah.
Tell me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to say
no, I remember it. Mm-hmm.
And then you went down there and you were leaning on the railing and you said, I wonder why this place would be haunted.
Right.
That's what, I remember you saying something like
right.
that because you're trying or to
Or why would be a per, that person, right.
Yeah, so that right. that definitely gave me chills because we had our backs facing that. We didn't mm-hmm. see anything.
And yeah, I was walking behind
to,
you.
To know that something was behind us is what got me shaken.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you though, I do feel like some things came with us. Like I think it came like the cauldron and stuff like that. But I do feel like there was something here. And I do have to say, I do feel that there's something protective here. Mm-hmm. Like the situation that happened with Christina. And I will tell, I'd be happy to tell the story, but I would rather have her tell it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's an awesome story.
It is an awesome story because it makes you feel a little bit better about, mm-hmm. you know, this, about this kind of stuff. You know, from time to time, I get people who say, you know, they think they see things from the outside. That being said, we're a paranormal store. You know, people are going to get spooked and they're going to have, you know, they want it to be haunted. Do you know what I mean? But what about that guy that saw the little girl? Do you remember that story? So, like, he had... I probably should wait for Christina, too. But he had... and this is just us kind of shooting the shit, right? Like when we do more of these, we'll talk a little bit more about specifics and things like that. But this is just, like, us hanging out in where we work, talking about the weird things that have happened to us.
Yeah.
I can't tell you, in the year and a half that we've been giving tours, there have been countless people that have claimed to have had experiences. You know, mm-hmm. made uncomfortable, felt dizzy, heard something, got touched. Even tonight, after we did the seance, I came upstairs and they were talking amongst themselves, and four of them were like, "We felt something move past us."
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And they didn't tell us that because they didn't, you know, they were just. And then they were like, did you feel that cold that moved past us? Yes, I did. And they were spontaneous, but they were separate spontaneous experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But there was he was a police officer, from what I remember. He was here with his wife and his two daughters. He is not a believer. But he seemed like a really good guy. He was just, you know, content to spend the day out with his wife and kids mm-hmm. doing something kooky that they enjoyed doing. And so they had kind of voiced this idea that he would be busting their chops a little bit. And they got upstairs. They got about halfway through the tour. I think they were on the other side of the singing couch where he turned around, looked over his left shoulder towards where the stairs up into the exhibit hall are. And he turned around and he said, "Whose little girl is that?" And his wife was like, "What are you talking about? Stop busting my chops." And he's like, "What do you mean? There's a little girl right over there." And Christina turned to look and nobody saw anything. And then they really did think that he was making fun of them. And he literally said, "You don't see her like that." And then he was like, "Where did she go?" And you know, I watched this on tape. He really did not seem like he was joking. Mm-hmm. He seemed like he thought they were joking.
Right.
And when I did look at the security tapes, I didn't see anything there, but I did see a soft lens, like a soft lens movement. But, you know, these are security cameras, so it's not really high quality stuff. But he really seemed, and he left saying, "I saw something." Like, he left saying, "I saw something."
Right.
I remember we had a guy that came in who was a devout skeptic and who all of them got sick to their stomachs by the cauldron. So his girlfriend got sick. He was kind of making fun of her. And then he started to feel sick to his stomach too. And I remember was it you? We were going to have to call the ambulance, or was it Christina's
door? No, it was Christina.
Right, where we were going to have to call the ambulance because the woman kind of collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got up and got downstairs and was just like, "That has never happened to me before. I am embarrassed. I don't know what that was. But I was overcome by, you know, this feeling."
And I have had one of those on my tour as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like... And I don't think it's negative, but I do think it's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What do you think the most... What's the best aspect of working here?
Getting to do things that I would not normally...
Right.
...get to do.
And really doing them.
Yes.
Right.
And, you know, like being... the first group to get to investigate the Berkeley.
Right.
I would have never gotten the chance to do that if I wasn't involved here.
Right. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, same thing, though. Because, I mean, I've been here for so long, and I've done...
But we're still doing new stuff. Like, I called Joe the other night and said, you want to come pick up a coffin with me on Sunday morning? And he was like, all right, you know?
Yeah, I love that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for a really long time, but I think it's the same way for me. I think that we get to live this kind of fantasy thing. Like when I say out loud sometimes what I do, it sounds insane. You know what I mean? But we really do it. Like, we're going to go to Villisca.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do these things, and... we're going to go to Salem, and we're going to, you know, like, and, you know, you can go to Salem anytime, but we're going to do it. And, like, you know, like, we do experiments, and we, you know what I mean? And I think that, for me, the best thing about it is that we literally have the freedom to explore things that other people may not have the opportunity to do it. And, you know, honestly, that's something that I'm excited to share with people who are listeners and people who are our supporters on Patreon. Because every person on Facebook, every person on Instagram, every person on Twitter, every person that supports us on Patreon, you know, we want to bring you guys with us, you know, so we're going to try and do more of these things. We're going to encourage you to send us your questions, your queries, your, you know, anything that you're excited about or confused about. And we're going to have different people doing these things with us. So we have a podcast, but we're calling this the Spirit Board, as in Board of Directors. And there are going to be different members of the Spirit Board. But I hope you've enjoyed it. I'd like to thank Heather, and I'd like to thank Joe for being here. You're going to be talking to both of them a lot more as well. And if you have any questions or you have any insights or there's something that you want us to talk about, please just reach out to us. You can reach out to us on social media, on Facebook at Paranormal NJ, on Twitter at Paranormal NJ, on Instagram, it's The Paranormal Museum. And if you do want to support us on Patreon, it's Patreon is Paranormal NJ as well. Everything we do, we absolutely appreciate your support in all of those things. You can also hit me up at Kathy with a K at ParanormalBooksNJ.com. Hope you have a great time. Hope you're having a good summer, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.